This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:35 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together with Kusu Chuang and Philip C. Now we are turning our attention to the Malacca state elections. Tomorrow, 28 seats will be up for grabs in the 15th Malacca state elections after four errant assemblymen tried to bring down the state government. We know the story on this. The election will see three coalitions, namely Pakatan Harapan, Barisan Nasional and Perikatan Nasional, fight to take the lead in the state.
Due to the pandemic, face-to-face interactions with voters and rallies has been banned by the Health Ministry. Now, this has neutralized the ability of parties to build momentum and to personally reach out to voters. These state elections are so critical as they are seen as a bellwether for G15. And so the outcome of the elections will almost certainly set the tone for the political climate in the years to come.
So for a preview of what we can expect tomorrow, we have on the line with us Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Research Fellow at the Ilham Centre. Good morning, Dr. Hamidin. Always good to have you. Now, it's been about 2 weeks of campaigning for all sides, but due to COVID-19 restrictions, physical campaigning activities have been banned. How successful have politicians been in reaching out to their voter base during this campaign period?
Morning, guys. Morning, Shazana and Chuang. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's very interesting to look and examine what's happened in Malacca for the past 2 weeks, especially in regard to the campaign. I think despite learning the new curve in campaigning through only through social media and indirect communication, basically, between the candidates, party workers and the voters, we don't see, in our observation, we don't see much impact, actually, with the new SOP put forward by SPR. And definitely, I think it impacted how the party communicate, how the party campaign, because it's very much go against the culture of Malaysian politics, what's happening in Malacca now, especially in the politics of campaigning, where normally a very strong presence of candidates or their representative meeting people in a small group or in the big ceramah campaign. But that's all absent in Malacca. Most of the campaigns go direct to the people. And this is interesting. When we do our observation in regard to the campaign, not all people can kind of stick to their phone and looking what's been discussed about the campaign. So it is, in my point of view, it doesn't really manage to reach the whole purpose of campaign by the new restriction put forward by the Minister of Health and SPR.
And what have been the major issues pushed by the parties to gain voters?
Yeah, most interestingly, Chuang, in Malacca case, most is a very much a localized issue. It's very much because the absence is very much in the absence of national issues. Like we know in the G14 we have YNDB and others, but here we don't have any much on national issue, but it's very much localized issue. For example, we were in Pantai Kundo, I think, the last weekend. So most of the things that have been discussed, even by the candidates and the party, is about the land reclamation and how it's affected the most of the fishermen there. So it's very much localized issue. So it's very difficult for, my point of view, for people outside Malacca to give an impact on the campaign. So with that, it's only very much the representative and the candidates can deal directly with the voters. So with that, in my point of view, it's very much make the campaign slow and doesn't make impact to many people.
Right. So because it's such a local issue, is it true then that it's really a fight between Barisan Nasional and Pakatan Harapan? Because, you know, Perikatan Nasional also could be in the play because if the issues are so local, right?
Yeah, I agree with that until I think 2 days ago, 3 days ago, when we noticed that PN campaign began to emerge and we can see the tractions from the Perikatan Nasional campaign. They start quite late. We noticed that even in some area they didn't put the face of the candidate, only face of Muhyiddin Yassin as Abah, they call it in this campaign. But it is very much between the Pakatan Harapan and Barisan Nasional. But I do believe that PN successfully play its role or their objective as a spoiler in the election. So they're coming quite late and making an impact. And the advantage of the PM, from our analysis, is that they are very strategic in their candidates. So candidate-wise, they put where it matters, the age group, the race, and others in the each constituency. So with that, I think it's very interesting to look at the result later.
Okay, but spoil for who?
Oh, for both, actually. For PN and for BN. I think this is where we expect PN will get around 20% of the vote, which I think will make, in some area, will make PH suffer, and in some area will make Barisan Nasional loss. So this is where my point of view is very interesting. But it's not necessarily benefited them.
Mm.
It definitely, that's the whole point of, I think, a Perikatan Nasional objective now.
All right. And PN actually finally announced their candidate for chief minister yesterday. They announced Datuk Mas Ermiyati Samsudin as their candidate. She would be the first woman chief minister if indeed she does win. Do you think this is a good move for PN?
Yeah, I think it's a very good move. A bit late, but I think it's very strategic, because internal issues, where we understand is there is so much competition who will be named as chief minister for Perikatan Nasional. One thing. Second thing, I think it will impact on especially on Mas fight against Rauf in Tanjung Bidara. I think this last 48 hours is making a lot of difference for Mas campaign in Tanjung Bidara. But at the same time, interestingly, women voters Melaka much better, I think, have a better number compared to the men. Is around 52 to 48% difference between male and female. So I think it is something. What is important, in my point of view, is give something to refer to for Perikatan Nasional, that they have the leaders that everybody is looking at. So I think with Mas Ariati, it's quite safe for them to be in that position.
Mm. Yeah, and if Pakatan fails to take Melaka, Doc, how much responsibility should Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim shoulder?
Wow, that's a big question. No, interestingly, I don't think it will impact Anwar Ibrahim that much what happened in Melaka. But it will definitely, I think, make most of the leadership in Pakatan Harapan to really re-examine their approach. And what happened in Melaka, my point of view, is very much show how dysfunction, disorganized Pakatan Harapan is. Well, that's what surprised us as an analysis. We noticed, even though after almost 5 years together, almost 8 years together now, but they failed even to have one single common motto for Pakatan Harapan in Melaka. Mm. They failed even to put the same pictures of all of them in one pamphlet. So it's a big. Hiccup in my point for Pakatan Harapan in Melaka campaign.
So, Doc, you're on the ground. You already said 20% PN vote. Give me your predictions. Vote share and seat share. We will record this and we will replay this after the results come out.
I think when we talk with most of our friends who are doing the research, nobody there, basically, to give the prediction. Why? Because it's very goddamn difficult to really know what's happened. Because normally we can easily see the wave in a campaign. Yeah, think issues, people are getting excited, but not in Melaka. So it's very difficult for that. But I do believe, looking at in the current situation, I'm not surprised at the three scenarios, Chuang. Yeah? First, I think it will be a hang Dewan Undangan Negeri, meaning no single party will hold. That, I think, can happen. At the same time, I do believe that as it is until a couple of days ago, Barisan Nasional have an advantage. But looking at the current stage, as you said, looking at the late merge of Perikatan Nasional, we do expect it's not as clean as they thought for Barisan Nasional in Melaka.
All right, Dr. Hamidin, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Research Fellow at the Ilham Center, placing his bets on the fact that there may not be a clear majority in the Melaka state elections.
It's clear it's not clear.
Yeah, it's clear that it's not clear. Exactly. I was going to say this might be the template for G15.
Perhaps so. Yeah, we will see. 41% of you on the poll that we're running on our Twitter account also agree that there may not be a clear majority in the polls tomorrow. You know, we'll be following this as the elections unfold. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.